want to read with you once again just verse 14 of Luke chapter 2, the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have celebrated the birth of our Savior and remember the love of God that is given to us in the sending of Jesus, I do want us to just go back to the moment of the birth of our Savior and reflect upon three things. First, upon the simple message of the angel. Second, upon the song of the angels. And then third, upon the response of the shepherds. The angels appear to these specific shepherds in the fields nearby who are watching their flocks at night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them with the glory of the Lord shining around the shepherds as the reflected glory of God shone upon these shepherds from the angel and later the angels. The message of the angel is simple, and yet it is the most exciting message that these shepherds could ever hear. It's the most exciting message that we could ever hear. In verse 10, when we read that the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." The angel is not exaggerating. Because what the angel is about to say next is the greatest news that anyone could ever hear. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The one that all of Israel, all the people of God since Adam and Eve, have waited with eager expectation for this one to come. The one who would reconcile us to God. The one who would save us from our sin. The one who would pour out all of the divine blessings of grace and the favor of God upon us. And notice that God sent the solution to all of our problems in a person. As Paul Tripp writes, God's response wasn't a thing. It wasn't the establishment of an institution. It wasn't the process of intervention. It wasn't some new divine program. In His infinite wisdom, God knew that the only thing that could rescue us from ourselves and repair the horrendous damage that sin had done to the world was not a thing at all. It was a person. His Son, the Lord Jesus. And the announcement of the angel that this person, Christ Jesus, has come, is of course going to be the greatest of announcements. And so it's only fitting that after this announcement is given, that a choir of angels burst forth into song. And notice what they say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. That phrase communicates two things that we must learn to say with every waking thought. For if we long to dwell in heaven, let us learn from the angels the language and song of that place. First, that we are to give glory to God who is the highest in glory, far above the glory of anything or anyone else. And second, that we give only the highest of glory to Him. And we must sing this with the angels with all that we are, because as they sing this song, as they sing, "And on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests," as they sing that, they are singing this truth about us. Whereas this is the truth that directly affects our destiny. The angels are singing this song as outward observers of God's grace and power to save. We are the recipients of it. They see in the salvation that Christ gives to us in His coming, living, dying, rising again, and ascending. We see what God has done for us. The angels are observing, this is who our God is. And so we join with the angels in singing the glories of our God as we see the magnificence of His attributes. We see God's covenantal love. We see the compassion that He has on sinners. We see God's rich graciousness. We see His tender mercy. We see His overwhelming goodness. We see His perfect justice. We see His precious joy. The angels see those things too, but brothers and sisters, we are recipients of God's saving work. We experience the wonderful attributes of God in a way that an angel never will. They see it. They just see it. And they break forth into song. Brothers and sisters, this is given to us. Christ is our gift. Would we not join them in singing glory to God in the highest? Would we not say, "You alone, O Lord, are worthy of all glory. All glory." For You are glorious. When we talk about the glory of God, children, we're talking about two things. We're talking about who He is, and we're talking about what He's done. You maybe see a king or something that's all dressed up, or maybe a general or a soldier even, and they have on their uniform all these badges of honor or decorations, right? And those are all there as an outward display of, one, their character, but also their deeds, what they've done. Maybe in battle or in service to their country in some way. Our God is glorious because of who He is. He is the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the omnipresent one. He is the one that is all gracious, just, good, the overflowing fountain of all good. He is love itself. And we see the glory of those attributes put on display in His work. Certainly, as we look at creation around us, that's reason enough to sing of the glories of our God. But we have even more reason than that. Because we have been saved. We have been saved. Not just from cancer, or a car accident, or go down the list of earthly things. We have been saved from eternal death. We have been saved from hell. Would you not want to sing of the glories of the God that saved you from that? When we hear these words of the song of the angel, and on earth, peace, peace to men on whom His favor rests, does not our hearts leap with joy and immediately seek to glorify God for all that He is and all that He's done for you in your life? If not, why not? Is there something you would rather give highest glory to? Is there someone else that you're looking for greater joy in? What else is there? What other news compares to the gospel? What other solutions to your problems and to the world's is there? What could possibly give you more reason for joy, real, true joy that cannot be taken from you by circumstance? What could possibly give you more reason for joy than Jesus? And as we reflect upon this, I want us then to reflect upon the response of the shepherds. In verse 15, we read, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And then we're told in verse 16, so they hurried off. They hurried. They didn't just mosey over there. They, as fast as they could, went to Bethlehem searching for the sign that the angels gave to them. Now, there's something that we can so easily rush over in this because we're not first century shepherds, but they didn't have fences or pens to keep their sheep in one place. They had sort of little rock walls that they would put around. But what's the door for that? They didn't even have a gate. Who was the door? The shepherd is. So if there's no shepherd there, the sheep can just wander out, or anything can wander in, and the rock walls aren't that high. Any wild animal could jump over it. And yet these shepherds, they left everything they had. They left their entire livelihood behind and in jeopardy from an earthly perspective in order to see Jesus. They were, as we'll see this afternoon, they were seeking first the kingdom of God. Should we not be as well? We're not all called to leave our place of work and go into ministry of some kind. Our ministry is very much our serving the church and carrying out the callings that God has given to us. But the principle of the shepherds remains the same. Do you want to give your whole life over to Christ? Is He your everything? Is He the joy of your life? Is He the good news that you live every day of your life in? Even when we get bad news, shouldn't that bad news be overcome by the good news of Jesus? When we let the things of this world rob us of our peace and our joy, it is because we are searching for peace and joy in this world. Because if your treasure is in heaven, nothing on earth can take that. That was the problem the Israelites had in the wilderness wandering, wasn't it? All their joy and happiness they thought was to be found in this world. And that's why when they were scarce on water, or they were hungry, or they were sick of eating manna, or a whole host of other things, what did they do? Well, they do what we so often do. Grumble, grumble, complain, complain. I'm reminded of a saint that went to be with the Lord a number of years ago now, who was dying of cancer. Woman who had suffered more than anyone. I've never heard of a story of someone who suffered more than she did. But at the end of her life, I can tell you, even as she felt absolutely miserable as the cancer overtook her body, and she was so weak, at the end she couldn't even talk, she had a peace and a joy that not even cancer could take from her. As I left her for the last time, I said to her, as she was struggling to breathe, and she hadn't talked in days, she hadn't drank or ate anything in 3 days, her body was shutting down, and I said to her, don't wait for me. Go home. We'll see each other again. And less than five, she went to be home with the Lord. But she did say one last thing to me. As I said, don't wait for me. Go home. She, with the last bit of strength she had left, she said, It's all she could get out. She had peace and joy. Even when people around her were angry at God, she never was. Because she had peace and joy that was found in Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the power of the gospel. This is why you can live every day of your life and be thankful and filled with an unshakable joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding. Because you have been given the greatest gift that could possibly be given. The Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why would we stand still? Why would we take steps backwards? Why would we crawl? Why would we walk? Why wouldn't we run to Him? And surrender all to Him. And cast down our crowns before His feet. And worship Him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Brothers and sisters, there is not a day that should go by that we do not remember and rejoice that Christ has come, and He is coming. And may the words of the angels be always with haste brought to our minds with readiness and eagerness, sung from our mouths, for no greater gift could be given, no greater Savior could be sent, no greater message could be spoken. What else can we say? Then glory to God in the highest. Amen. Let's sing to our God hymn 16, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn 16. The deacons will come forward and collect the offering. May the Lord bless you in your giving. And afterward, we'll sing Psalm 150, stanzas 1 and 2.